Welcome to the Data Life Podcast. In this podcast, we talk about real-life experiences with data, talk with people doing cool data science stuff, and discuss tools and more. Before we begin, I want to say welcome to all the listeners from around the world. Thanks for being a subscriber to this podcast, and if you're new, my heartfelt welcome. For small podcast creators like us, each and every listen matters. So thank you. I'm going to start a new series on cloud services, specifically Amazon Web Services. It is the most commonly used cloud provider in the world, and data scientists increasingly need to know about AWS just as much as a DevOps person. We'll start the series off with machine learning service called AWS SageMaker. I'm thinking we can cover other services like Redshift, Glue, Athena, and more. If you would like to hear episodes on these, let me know. My contact details are in show notes. Anyways, let's get started. AWS SageMaker is a powerful service by AWS for building, training, and deploying your machine learning models. It was released by AWS in 2017, and it has quickly gotten a lot of popularity. However, not many data scientists are using the service as it is pretty new. In this episode, we'll talk about AWS SageMaker and how you can use it yourself in your machine learning project. Not just for building and training the model, but also for deploying your model to be used by thousands and millions of users. One great thing about SageMaker is its modular design. If you prefer to train elsewhere and just use SageMaker for deployment, you can do that. If you just prefer to train your model and use its hyperparameter tuning capability, you can do that as well. That is something which I really like about SageMaker. With this in mind, let us get started in our understanding of AWS SageMaker in the three broad areas, which are model building, model training, and model deployment. So let us begin with model building first. At the most basic level, SageMaker actually provides Jupyter notebooks. So you just come to SageMaker in the AWS dashboard, you open up a notebook instance, and then you can use these notebooks for building, training, and deploying ML models. Jupyter is a popular open source framework for data exploration and analysis, as it lets you quickly visualize the output of your results in the browser itself. So you don't have to rerun scripts, manage files. If you're using visualizations, you don't have to like store all these like matplotlib files and so on and just open them separately and so on. So like you can just keep running the data set, you keep looking, exploring the data set in the browser itself. Many data scientists actually use these notebooks for exploratory data analysis and model building stage. So you might start off using something like Pandas here to explore the data set. How many missing rows do you have? What does the distribution of data look like? Do you have imbalanced data and so on? You can build many different models ranging from say logistic regression or decision tree or random forest from scikit-learn to deep learning models from Keras and get baseline performance really quickly. So when you move to SageMaker, the notebook interface remains the same. There is no difference. Then a question you might ask is like, what's the advantage of using SageMaker notebooks instead of local or notebooks hosted on an EC2 server somewhere? Well, SageMaker lets you decide the type of machine you prefer, so you don't need to manage any complex AMIs or Amazon machine images or security groups. This makes it very easy to get started. SageMaker also provides access to GPUs and big machines with high amounts of RAM that might not be possible on a local setup. So if you're running it on, say, a MacBook, you might get a maximum RAM of, say, 32 GB. But what if you want a very high RAM? In that case, you can use a SageMaker notebook. So let us list out all the advantages of SageMaker for model building. From 2-core and 4 GB machines all the way to 96-core and 768 GB RAM machines, you have access to these with a click of a button, and notebooks are hosted in these machines without any extra effort from you. You don't have to manage any security groups or AMIs or manage IP addresses of machines or anything. Second advantage is that it comes with environments pre-configured. You do not need to install TensorFlow or other common libraries separately. A third advantage is that you can link your GitHub account with these notebooks. So you can keep committing to the GitHub repo as you build the model. No need to worry about downloading and uploading files for version control. And this is available via the JupyterLab interface for the SageMaker notebooks. So I really love this feature. So to summarize, for model building, you have access to notebooks, which you can configure with any kind of machine or RAM you like. You have all these environments kind of pre-configured. And another thing is you can link to GitHub, which is pretty awesome for model building, especially as you iterate and you might collaborate with people. They might want to pull your GitHub repo and so on. So that is a pretty cool thing. Now we want to move to model training. So the next step is model training. You can use the same notebooks to train the model and store the model artifacts and files in S3 and then move to next step of model deployment. But what if you're doing text analysis and want to build a complex LSTM model that might take several hours to train? In this case, instead of using notebook instance itself, which might be running on a very small machine, you can just call a GPU from SageMaker notebook itself to train the model. So this way you can save the cost while running the notebook, as most of the tasks are around building, checking and exploring the model. Again, for training the model itself, you can just use another machine which is different from the machine being used in the notebook. So the advantages of using SageMaker for model training are, you can run the notebook on non-GPU, just a normal CPU based, say T2.medium instance, which costs roughly around $40 a month. But then you can use P2.x large GPU instance that costs around $1.2 per hour. And only the seconds that were used to actually train the model will be billed to you. This can be a huge cost saving, especially as typically you would start a EC2 server with a GPU, install everything, run your scripts, and have to remember to shut it down, which can cost quite a bit. So to repeat, you can use a cheap instance to host your notebook, which can run 24 hours a day, and you don't need to worry about shutting it down or anything like that, and will not cost quite a bit, but then use GPUs to train the model right from the notebook itself. So this was a big point. I mean, like, you know, when I first figured this out, it was really an eye-opening moment, and it can really actually save a lot of costs for you by not choosing to run big EC2 GPU servers, but rather just call them when you need it from the notebook. Another feature of SageMaker for model training is hyperparameter tuning. You can create hyperparameter tuning jobs so that your model can tune overnight and you will be shown the best hyperparameters in the morning. It's a pretty cool feature, as you have the UI and you can also control it using code or the CLI. Yet another advantage of SageMaker is how you can use Amazon's own pre-built models that have been highly optimized to run on AWS services. You can use pre-built XGBoost or LDA or PCA or even sequence-to-sequence models. All these are available via high-level Python SDK called SageMaker. This is a good time to mention that there is a low-level SDK as well, which is called Boto3. So Boto3 is a common way to access other AWS services in Python, say S3, EC2, Redshift, and so on. SageMaker is a high-level Python SDK specifically built for AWS SageMaker. So you can actually just use this high-level Python SDK, this Python library called SageMaker, and then use these pre-built models directly to be used inside SageMaker notebooks. So to summarize, the three advantages for model training are that you can use a small instance to run the notebook, but then call the GPU whenever you need it, and you are only billed per second for the training time that you spend training the model. Another is hyperparameter tuning jobs. And finally, you can use pre-built machine learning models which come from AWS itself. We'll come back right after this ad to discuss about model deployment. Next, let's talk about the big one, which is model deployment. It's my favorite reason to use SageMaker. Even though your model might not be too complex and can get trained easily on your local machine, you would still need to host the model somewhere. So this is a step which, you know, irrespective of whether you want to use step 1 and 2, which is model building and training, you would definitely need to deploy your model somewhere. Then there are issues about scaling the model. Can you build a service to serve your ML outputs that can be used by hundreds and thousands of users at the same time? What about latency? What if there is a sudden spike of demand? What if there is a failure? How do you debug that? For all these, SageMaker is awesome as it lets you host the model behind an endpoint. This endpoint is a service running in a hidden EC2 server somewhere. Of course, you need to still choose what instance type you like, but you do not need to worry about setting this server up. During setting up of this endpoint, you can say choose things like auto-scaling groups, how many servers do you want, the policy, and so on. So if there is an extra load on your machine, on one machine, it will spin up multiple servers to serve that endpoint and that model. So if suddenly you get a spike from 1,000 users to say 1,000,000 users, the AWS will be ready to serve all those requests by spinning up more instances for you. So the thing is, like, SageMaker obviously makes it easy for us to do all these things. But for the sake of completion, I should mention what people typically do today. So like a lot of people actually do not use SageMaker for deployment as it's still new, as I mentioned. So they might actually just run it behind a basic, like an API, say using Flask or Node.js. And then they will host that server running that API themselves. So they will use, say, an EC2 instance, they will spin it up, they will host their Flask service on an EC2, and then that would serve the ML model. So instead of like maintaining and managing that server and creating the Flask app, you can just use SageMaker, and you don't need to worry about coding that up and maintaining that EC2 server. You can basically just use SageMaker, where Amazon will take care of that server for you. This smells a lot like serverless, right? So the reason I'm not calling it serverless is because it's still a physical server that is running 24 hours. I mean, that's the main point. It's not like it's serverless to an extent that when a call comes, the service wakes up and then serves it. So it's an important thing to know. It's actually a server which is running all the time. That's why it is really fast. But Amazon takes care of it. So it's kind of like in the middle. It's neither EC2 nor Lambda, but it is somewhere in the middle, what SageMaker provides you. So the advantages of using SageMaker for model deployment are that you can host the ML model in an endpoint. You can then call this endpoint from any other code written in common languages. You can also call this model from a Lambda function. So if you already have a service, say you're working for a company which already has a service and you don't need to worry about creating additional services, then why not? Then just create an endpoint and ask that developer to just use that endpoint in his or her code, and then you're good to go. Or you could also call this from Lambda function. This way your web app can just call the Lambda function, which will then call this model endpoint. So to summarize this point, what I'm saying is that, like, if you already have a service running, then I think you can just create an endpoint and you're good to go, because you can just tell the developer, or you could just directly call this endpoint from the code. But if you do not have a service already running and you want to actually enable someone to call this endpoint, because this endpoint can only be accessed via, say, 5 or 6 lines of code written in a language, and a lot of your users might not want to write a code, right? So they would just want to call your service using an HTTP endpoint. In that case, you would still need to wrap this endpoint behind, say, a Lambda function or something like API gateway, so that they can access this service that you have built, which is pretty cool. I know this is a little complex, but the main point here is to understand that you can actually host the model in an endpoint, which is easy to scale, easy to basically debug using CloudWatch, and it is pretty awesome to just create an endpoint where someone else can just call it. Another great advantage is that you can host multiple models in the same endpoint. For this, you will need to create a custom Docker container image, though. This is fairly complex, but there are starter codes in GitHub by AWS. You'll need to create your own image and host it in ECR, and then use this image while hosting multiple models. Multi-model endpoints let you host all these multiple models, and the instances are pre-configured to dynamically handle the load of multiple models without you having to worry about the DevOps for this. Another advantage is, as I mentioned, CloudWatch logs. You do not need to worry about creating your own logging pipeline. So you can just, all the calls to your endpoint are logged directly in CloudWatch. And it is pretty cool to just debug it using a service that AWS has already built for us. So this concludes the 9 specific advantages of using SageMaker for building, training, and deployment of ML models. So I can summarize the 9. So we covered 3 points for model building, which were, you can choose any kind of machine you want, you can use the environments which are pre-configured, and you also have GitHub access for the notebooks that SageMaker provides. For model training, the 3 advantages were that you can just call GPU and just get build per second for that GPU call while your notebook runs on a CPU instance, which is cheap. Another is hyperparameter tuning jobs. And finally, like, Amazon provides pre-built models that you can use inside SageMaker. For model deployment, the 3 advantages were that you can host the model in an endpoint, and which makes it easy to scale and serve it to a large number of customers. Another one is that you can host actually multiple models, and you can save a lot of cost that way because you do not need to call multiple services, you don't need to host a bunch of them, and so on and so forth. Another one, finally, the 9th one is that all your logs get easily stored in CloudWatch logs. So you might be wondering, like, what's the catch of SageMaker? So the main one is the cost. So SageMaker does cost more, and it can cost anywhere from 30 to 40% more than the equivalent EC2 server option from AWS. So if T2.medium costs you $30 a month, the same ML.T2.medium will cost you $40 a month. But I feel that, like, all these advantages make a big cost difference as well, actually. So you might actually save money overall. So upfront, you might be paying 30 to 40% more. But since you are only calling the GPU by per second, instead of spinning it up, running it, maintaining it, you can actually save a lot of money because GPUs can cost a few dollars an hour. You can also access version control and have more advanced features on hyperparameter tuning and so on. So which brings me to a 10th advantage, which is the bonus one, is that SageMaker gives you access to the entire AWS ecosystem of other services such as S3, Lambda, ECR, DynamoDB, etc. Specifically S3, as all the models, as they get trained, they are automatically saved in S3 and are automatically labeled by the time of training and so on, which can make a big difference if you were trying multiple models and if you had a lot of people collaborating with you. Also, Amazon is constantly innovating and is bringing new features such as SageMaker Studio. So you'll be able to have access to all these advantages as you use SageMaker in your model pipelines. So once you get familiar with SageMaker, yes, there is a learning curve. But once you get familiar with SageMaker, you would be able to leverage all these new features and all the advantages that I mentioned. While hearing this episode again, I feel that it may come across that SageMaker is a magic pill for every ML problem you might encounter. I would say that it is actually not a magic pill, but rather a very useful tool. You would still need to figure out the pre-processing and post-processing pipelines using handler functions, and also figure out how you want to configure Docker containers for multi-model endpoints. Sometimes the directory structure of the files needs to be very specific. All this is not easy, and AWS documents are honestly not that good. For this reason, I will recommend you to start small and deploy something like, say, an MNIST endpoint, and then build from there. SageMaker is an insanely great tool, but I wanted to paint the full picture. It will be great to hear from you how you have been using it, and also let me know if I missed something in this episode. Reach out to me on LinkedIn or via email. Information is in the show notes. All the best in your ML journey. That's all for today, and have a great week ahead.